The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome. It is the Monday, August 10th edition of TalkBack. So glad to have you along this morning, everybody, and I know it's smoky out there. It's going to be smoky for till further notice, but hey, we're all getting by. Good morning, Mr. Nick. How are you?
Doing good. Good morning.
Good. So how have you been dealing with this can't see the sky stuff?
I just stay inside. I was boring this weekend. I didn't leave the house much and just kind of relaxed, and yeah, did not go out in it too much.
So. Well, I did. My of course, when I left here Friday, I jumped in the car. And my brother-in-law and sister-in-law and my wife and I went golfing. We went to St. Regis and went to another place, and we had a really, really good time. And I lost my share of golf balls, but then everybody did, so.
Well, and you were given a whole plethora of golf balls by one of our listeners, so you were all set up for that.
A very generous individual who did not leave his name, by the way.
I know who it is, but he just wanted to be referred to as Santa Claus. So there
Santa
you go.
Claus. Well, Santa, thank you. You made a big difference. I had a chance to share those with all the people I was golfing with, so that was good. Nice. All right, and yeah, so we made it. Nobody got lost. Nobody fell in the pond. So it was good. We had a wonderful time, and we ended up having a wonderful dinner on the way home. So there you go.
Very fun.
All right. So how about you? What did you do over the weekend, sir?
I told you I didn't do much. I just sat inside and, just didn't do a ton. Caught up on some sleep and some other stuff and just relaxed. But, it's going to be open phones today for the first hour or so. So we want to hear from you guys. And then Rob Nadelson, he'll join us at 9 o'clock. So we're looking forward to that.
You bet. It's always a fun and interesting hour with Rob Nadelson. And you really have to do your homework with Rob because he does his homework. And of course, he loves taking calls from our listeners as well. So he's a prolific author and, of course, commentator, political commentator. And we would love to have you call when Rob is on, but right now it's open phone. So if there's something you'd like to talk about, just feel free to pick up the phone, give us a call. Maybe you're bothered by the smoke. You're wondering when it's going to go away. I don't know either, but just give us a call at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309.
Governor Gianforte authorized the deployment of the Montana National Guard personnel to assist in fighting those wildfires in eastern Washington. So that was some kind of news over the weekend. The support package, it's scheduled to depart Tuesday, tomorrow. It includes a CH-47 Chinook heavy lift helicopter, a 5-soldier crew, and a maintenance team.
Right.
They're heading to Spokane, obviously, where they've had those massive blaze burning, and it's like 10,000 acres now.
Wow.
It's destroyed over 700 structures. And for 65,000 residents from their homes, which is just awful. And Montana joins nearly 24 states that are providing emergency mutual aid through the Emergency Management Assistance Compact. And Governor Gianforte emphasized, he said, sending these resources will not compromise Montana's wildfire readiness, stating that state fire crews remain prepared to respond aggressively to any new fire starts here at home. And we can go over some of those fires if we don't get calls when we come back.
Sure, you bet. And we would love to hear from you. It is open phones for this first hour, by the way, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, one of our favorite guests, one of the original guests, individuals on TalkBack, Rob Nadelson from the Independence Institute, is going to be with us on the phone. And he has already sent us a volume of things that he wants to talk about. But, of course, he loves taking calls from you folks as well. So if there's something on your mind, open phones is the time to do it. Give us a call, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Coming right back after this quick timeout. That was Emmett. He gave up. Oh, there he is.
Okay.
Okay.
Announcing Palm.
Dennis Bragg with your Town Square weather. Areas of smoke continue this week with haze-filtered sunshine and a little cooler than over the weekend with highs in the upper 80s. Overnight lows will continue on the cool side around 50 degrees, although it will be cool in many locations with lows about 10 degrees colder than that. Air quality alerts continue with conditions ranging from moderate to unhealthy, so be aware of your specific location. We are tracking a possible change this week with a cool down and even a slight chance of showers or thunderstorms by Thursday.
We are back. This is Talk Back. Good to have you along, everybody, on this Monday, August the 10th, and it's open phones for this first hour. And we do have folks waiting, and Nick's answering the phone right now, in fact. So we'll try to get as many calls in as we can in this hour before 9 o'clock when Rob Nadelson will be joining us. So who do we have there, Mr. Nick?
Emmett.
Emmett, good morning, sir. You're on Talk Back. Go ahead, please.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. Well, there's been a lot of talk about these flock cameras you've been seeing all over the country. I don't like them either. It's like a lot of surveillance. I know that they would cut down on crime. I mean, they did a news story on ABC News about them, monitoring people's drivers' license plates on the road, this kind of thing. I know it would cut down on crimes because everyone's under surveillance. But that's the problem. Everyone's under surveillance. Now we have a surveillance police state where you're filmed 24/7. That's horrible. That is not good for our Americans. That's absolutely horrible. I know it helps the police solve crime, but do you want a surveillance state where you're always under a candid camera, where you all have to say smile? Big Brother is watching you.
Well,
I don't.
I'm just looking at this, and since you brought it up, and it says here, they're called, as you mentioned, flock cameras, right? They're automated license plate readers, made by a company called Flock Safety. They capture vehicle license plates, make, model, color, and unique features. Law enforcement agencies, neighborhoods, and businesses use them to log passing traffic data onto a shared cloud network. So, there you go.
Very disturbing. That's Big Brother. I can't believe that as patriotic Americans we're even standing for this. Yeah, I know, you know, that we are getting more security to give up our liberties, but wasn't it one of our founding fathers who said, those who will give up their freedoms for security deserve neither freedom nor security? Right now I can't remember the name of the founding father, and I know the guest we're going to have on next, Dr. Nadelson, would probably give me Professor Nadelson would give me a failing grade for not remembering that founding father. That drives me crazy, but it's 8 o'clock in the morning. But another thing I wanted to talk about was the wildfires. You brought them up. Well, this has been something I've talked about on TalkBack for a long time, the environmentalists. I believe it's our friends, the environmentalists and the extremist environmentalists, and their environmental regulations that has caused these wildfires. You can't clear cut. You cannot ever, clear out the underbrush because of the protections for our wild national forests. So what happens, our forests become a tinderbox because nothing's cleared out because the environment say you cannot touch Mother Earth or Mother Nature, and everything goes up in smoke. Because in the 80s, we didn't have these fires. I remember living here and in Lewiston, Idaho, there was no smoke in the 1980s until the environmentalists came along and pushed through these horrible regulations because they're earth worshippers. It's just, we've got to pray for this country.
All right.
But I'm against Big Brother surveillance, Sorry about the whole thing with professor, but it's just, I really respect Rob Nadelson, but he'll be embarrassing, be in his class and not remember. Who was the name of that, though? A founding father who said that.
It was Benjamin Franklin.
It was Benjamin Franklin?
Yes.
I thought I'd look stupid
He said in 1755, he said, those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety.
I agree. I almost had Benjamin Franklin in my mind, but I didn't think he was born yet. I thought, Oh, wait. So I got it right, and that's my typical schooling for you.
Emmett, thanks. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it, sir. Let's get Matt on the line. Matt, good morning. You're on TalkBack, sir. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Yeah, the last caller kind of addressed my question. I grew up here in Flathead Valley. I'm 48, so I've been here for a while. I'm a fourth-generation Montana, and I just don't remember there being this much smoke and this many wildfires as a kid, and now as an adult, I feel like we get a small little window in the summertime, to get out and recreate, and then we're just kind of stuck inside because it's so smoky. And just wanted to see if you guys had any thought, on top of what the last caller had as to maybe some of the reasons that we're seeing so many fires and
I think one of the reasons is we're in the middle of a really severe drought. I mean, you just drive over the bridge and look at the Clark Fork River. It is a trickle compared to what it usually is. And for the entire Mountain West, I understand, is under drought. And so when things get dry, all it takes is a passing car with a bad muffler or whatever, and boom, the fires begin.
Yeah. No, I agree. Thanks. I just think that there's a lot of variables, and just wondering if there's anything we can do as Americans or people as Montanans to, make things better, because it just seems like it keeps getting worse and worse.
No, I know people just roll their eyes when I say this. Pray for rain. We need a lot of rain to counter this, and I don't see any in the forecast. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Well,
thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. Francis from, Francis from Big Fork. We've got about a minute and a half, sir. Go ahead.
Ma'am. Okay.
Oh, ma'am. I'm sorry. Please go ahead. Francis, go ahead.
Yes. I'm a female.
Go ahead, please.
Okay. Well, I agree with the other guy about this environmentalist. They should be happy. They're burning up all the animals, and their skin is peeling off when the fires hit them. And so they should be really happy. They're scared of a cow letting some gas, but they do not care about people dying. I mean, that to them is fine. So it's so sad that these people are so sick that they don't know right from wrong. And they don't teach them in school right from wrong anymore. When they had the Ten Commandments and stuff, they knew what was right and what was wrong. Now they let them do anything they please.
Francis, it is a pleasure to talk with you. We're running up against a hard break, but thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it, ma'am. And when we come back, Jeff is waiting, and the phone lines are open. By the way, it's open phones from now until 9 o'clock this morning. And then Rob Nadelson will be joining us from the Independence Institute, and he'll be taking your phone calls as well. So we're going to come right back with more open phones right after this on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Stay with us. Talk back. Statewide.
In a world of
smiles are powerful. A simple smile can light up a whole room. And for 25 years, Smile Train has been lighting up the world with smiles. And each smile marks a step towards a brighter future. As the world's largest cleft lip and palate charity, Smile Train has supported more than 2 million life-changing cleft surgeries in over 90 countries, leaving a legacy of resilience, joy, and beaming smiles for generations of children. To learn more about cleft lips and palates and how Smile Train is supporting the cleft community all over the world, please visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, lighting up the world with smiles for 25 years.
Tell Child abuse is not a bad parent problem.
And the causes may be different than you think.
You see, paid family leave,
that prevents child abuse.
And high-quality, affordable child care
prevents child abuse, too.
Prevent Child Abuse America promotes programs and resources informed by science that help communities, parents, and kids thrive.
Because when we keep families out of crisis,
we prevent child abuse
from ever happening.
Go to PreventChildAbuse.org to learn more.
Let's solve child abuse before it ever happens.
Hey, we're back on TalkBack. And thank you so much for taking advantage of open phones. The phone lines are lighting up on this Monday morning. We appreciate that a lot. Jeff is standing by. Jeff, good morning, sir. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning, gents. Good morning, Montana. You know, we're just a month out from the our birthday, the 250th birthday of the United States. And over the weekend, I was reading an article that talked about Calvin Coolidge's proclamation on the 150th anniversary back in 1926.
Wow.
And they said, go out and read it. So I did. And I'd like to just quote a couple things from it. I mean, it's a long speech, so I'm not going to even go close to anything. But it starts out, or the part I want to start with, it was not because it was proposed to establish a new nation, but because it was proposed to establish a nation on new principles. That July 4, 1776 has come to be regarded as one of the greatest days in history. Three very definite propositions were set out in its preamble regarding the nature of mankind and therefore of government. They were the doctrine that all men are created equal, that they are endowed with certain inalienable rights, and that therefore the source of the just powers of the government must be derived from the consent of the governed.
Right.
That was absolutely historic. Never before had that been done. And then later on in the speech, he says this that I thought was really relevant. About the Declaration, there's a finality that is exceedingly restful. If all men are created equal, that is final. If they are endowed with certain inalienable rights, that is final. If governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed, that is final. If anyone wishes to deny their truth or their soundness, the only direction he can proceed historically is not forward, but backwards towards a time where there was no equality, no rights of the individual, and no rule of the people. So, and then finally, the very last thing, it's right at the end. It says, we live in an age of science and of abounding accumulation of material things. These did not create our Declaration. Our Declaration created them.
Wow.
We have to remember that we're an exceptional country. You know, it's a country that has, the likes of which had never existed before, as far as we know, on the face of the earth. So it's that we're not better. We're the exception.
You got
and
it.
Those two are two different things.
Jeff, thank you. Thanks, real quick,
have you read about Ernest Cantor Freedom?
No.
Ernest Cantor Freedom?
I have not.
Yeah, the center, a former NBA center. He said, after careful consideration and reviewing the current eligibility guidelines, I'm officially declaring myself a WNBA prospect.
Oh, my goodness.
So, if simply declaring who you are is all that is required, then I meet every single requirement necessary to compete in the WNBA.
Mm.
And since, and this is a declaration, there have been at least one more who've come forth to do that too. So the WNBA leadership is in a tizzy trying to figure out, what do we do now? How do we let a 200 and some pound, 10 foot or 6 foot 10 guy join the WNBA? You know, it's common sense is going to prevail. And he's doing this ironically. I mean, he's a naturalized citizen from Turkey who is a great guy. I think he got fined during COVID because he wouldn't take the shot. Good for Ennis, and more to follow on him as a WNBA prospect.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Nick, please.
That other individual also was Royce White. Jeff, who was doing the same thing.
Okay.
He posted a picture with a wig yesterday and said he is beginning his, quote, feminine era. So
wow.
also has plans to declare. So there you go.
Right. I love it.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Ed's standing by. Ed, sorry to make you wait, sir. Go ahead, please.
You got Ed here?
Yes, sir. Right? You are on.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. The way we can tell is that the volume gets a little lower, okay? Because sometimes you skip the name. We don't catch in on that. But the volume gets a little lower, then you know you're on. Well, anyway, Todd Blanche finally got Senate confirmation to be Attorney General. He has been acting Attorney General, but he's full Attorney General now.
Okay.
And this Senator Cassidy from Louisiana was the last vote. He gave a little speech on this Senate floor. Cassidy said that one reason for his positive vote was that if the Senate didn't pass Blanche, Trump might nominate someone worse.
Oh, my goodness.
You get that? Someone worse than Todd Blanche? Oh, wow. It's surprising. And what they're going to do is take off and go after Trump's opponents. And Trump's opponents will have to spend millions of dollars in legal fees. Those lawyers get, you know, several thousand dollars an hour, or a few thousand dollars an hour. But Trump and Blanche will get the taxpayers to pay their part of it. So in any event, this is going to be pretty good.
All right. Thank you so much for the call, sir. We appreciate it. We're going to take a quick commercial break here in just a few seconds. But we have John, Jerry from Billings, and Frank from Evergreen, and a host of others all standing by to take part in Open Phones. And that's what it's all about. We appreciate all of you statewide, by the way, on the Montana Talks Radio Network. We deeply appreciate every single one of you who want to call in and weigh in on the topics we're looking at. In addition, we've got Rob Nadelson. He'll be joining us at the top of the hour at 9 o'clock from 9 to 10 from the Independence Institute. So he draws a lot of callers as well. Prolific author and speaker. And we're looking forward to visiting with Rob as well in the 9 o'clock hour. So stay with us. This is Talk Back on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
Remember when
Dennis Bragg with your Town Square weather. Areas of smoke continue this week with haze-filtered sunshine and a little cooler than over the weekend with highs in the upper 80s. Overnight lows will continue on the cool side around 50 degrees, although it will be cool in many locations with lows about 10 degrees colder than that. Air quality alerts continue with conditions ranging from moderate to unhealthy, so be aware of your specific location. We are tracking a possible change this week with a cool down and even a slight chance of showers or thunderstorms by Thursday.
Smiles are powerful. A simple smile can light up a whole room. And for 25 years, Smile Train has been lighting up the world with smiles. And each smile marks a step towards a brighter future. As the world's largest cleft lip and palate charity, Smile Train has supported more than 2 million life-changing cleft surgeries in over 90 countries. Leaving a legacy of resilience, joy, and beaming smiles for generations of children. To learn more about cleft lips and palates and how Smile Train is supporting the cleft community all over the world, please visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, lighting up the world with smiles for 25 years.
They are our cuddlers and co-workers, purr machines and love bugs, and constant companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life so much better. When we face unexpected challenges in life, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people who love their pets and the pets who love their people, ensuring these families stay exactly where they belong, together. And you have something to offer. With an open heart and mind, there is nothing you can't do. There's no gesture too small or too big when it comes to helping. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. You can help keep pets and people together. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Penn Holderness. You don't have to have an amazing race to the doctor, but you should make time for routine cancer screenings.
I schedule my mammogram and other cancer screenings around my birthday and then treat myself to lunch.
I do too, because, I mean, of course, everyone likes lunch.
The C word can be scary, but routine screenings can detect cancer before symptoms appear.
And early detection equals better outcomes.
Go to preventcancer.org to find out which cancer screenings you need.
Hey, welcome back to Talk Back, everybody. On this Monday, August the 10th, I'm Peter Christian, Nick Christensen, taking your phone calls, producing Talk Back. It is open phones, and John's been waiting the longest. John, good morning. You're on, sir. You're on Talk Back. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Say, I've been listening to some of these people on here. We're talking about, you know, these fires and how these fires are getting out of control and whatnot. And if you go back to 1973, the Endangered Species Act was went into place. And so you look at the Endangered Species Act needs to be revamped. It's just gotten out of control. You know, these fires, you know, they don't want to do any logging because of the spotted owl. Well, what happened to the spotted owl? Nobody talks about the spotted owl anymore. Now it's the grizzly. You look at California, why are there fires out of control down there? You know, you've got some tree or bush that's on the Endangered Species Act, and you can't go in there and you can't do any thinning or anything like that. You know, if you look at it, okay, you've got grizzlies, let's say, on 4th Street, and you got grizzlies on 7th Street, but you don't have them on 5th, and you don't have them on 9th. So we're just going to keep these, whether it's an animal, a plant, or a rock, or whatever, on the Endangered Species Act, just because they're not on these other streets. They're out there, but it's just become a political thing with the Endangered Species Act, and that's what changed. You know, that was enacted in 1973.
Yeah, there have been lots of legal battles. I'm just reading this summary. Legal battles over thinning and controlled burns and recent regulatory rollbacks aimed at easing forest projects. If every summer is going to be like this, you know, looking outside our weather window here where you can't even see the mountains. As I mentioned earlier, we just need some rain. We're in a drought, and we need some rain, and we need a nice heavy snow summer to fill up, a heavy snow winter to fill up the rivers for the years to come.
That's true too, but we also have to look at, you know, why aren't we, you know, like this federal judge, I think it was last week here in Missoula, shut down that project for the Bitterroot. And what did it come down to? The grizzlies, you know. And these attorneys with these that are fighting all this stuff, they're making hundreds and thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars. It's just become a money pit, or, you know, it's good for them, but not for us. And if you look, too, why is a senator in New Jersey shut down the gray wolf delisting for the lower 48 states? Right. Why is somebody in the other part of this country dictating on an animal that they don't even have? Don't even deal with the issues that we have. It's the same way with forest projects. Right. Why is New Jersey, North Carolina, South Carolina senators dictating what's happening in the state of Montana, gotcha, Idaho, Oregon?
We are jammed with callers, and I appreciate that call. Thank you so much. I believe we have Jerry standing by. Is that right? Jerry's up next. Jerry, good morning. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please, sir. Well, I'm sorry. From Billings. I'm sorry.
Thank you for taking my call. As we listen to your shows, and everybody has an opinion about this and that, and I agree with about this federal judge shutting down the project that's in the forest because of the grizzly bears. But when you look back at, is that person a Democrat or Republican as that judge to have that kind of power? And they not only put the bears in jeopardy of burning, but the people. There's been several accidents of helicopter crashes trying to fight fire, but even Oregon. And so it gets back to the people. You keep voting Democrat, and this is what you're going to get of power. There's a big push right now to get Bogdan back in power. And when you look at all the people that run Trump down, where were they when Biden was running this country for years and years? Okay?
Right. Thank you for
so,
the... Go ahead.
People need to get out and vote for the people. We're dying out here. But I appreciate taking my call.
It's our pleasure, sir. Thank you. Now, keep in mind that these federal judges are appointed, and so everything depends on who happens to be in the White House at the time and the prevailing Democrats or Republicans who are, you know, putting forward those names for judges. And those judges serve for a lifetime. So anyway, we're going to come right back. We've got more. We've got Frank from Evergreen. We have Dave standing by. We'll be right back on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
For years, he's...
A great hour of open phones to start this great new week. We appreciate everybody calling this morning, and we'll try to get as many calls as we can in the next 18 minutes. And Frank from Evergreen is standing by. Frank, good morning, sir. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Yes, this co-president of Spokane, the Aaron Verinucci, there's a lot of questions that haven't been answered yet, and I think you're going to get to them, but the main ones are, where did he get the income to support his habits of, you know, cigarettes, butane lighters, marijuana? It's and then a cell phone. He's been planning ahead like several weeks of some of his fires, and wow. So he's somebody's funding him to have all this free time to do all this criminal activity. And but then on another hand here, we'll find out, perhaps. You know, there you have cameras at these cannabis dealers, and they can see how his pot habit was paid, et cetera, or else somebody else's credit card or whatever. Maybe his mother's purse, who knows. But on the other point here, former Governor Jay Inslee comes out and says, he's blaming all the Spokane fire on global climate change. You know,
it's probably a contributing factor, but it's not the cause.
I know, but he's going way out there, but I don't. Somehow I think there's some sort of support group here. I think it's some mad Democrats myself. I really think it's. Has a lot to do with Bernie Sanders and the Democrats. Anyway, they got tons of money to give these invasive species like Verinucci to want to move to Washington to do their chicanery. So we'll know.
All right.
We'll see.
Thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate it. Thanks for the call. Dave is standing by. Dave, good morning, sir. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, good morning. I'd like to talk to since it was a big issue last week about the 2020 election. So, you know, I was told by people called in that you know, there was ballot stuffing going on by the Democrats, and Donald Trump lost those five states because of that. So I went back and looked at the history and looked at 2020 election, and I fully expected to see Democrats sweep those five states and win, you know, House and Senate seats along with Trump's loss. And Wisconsin, for example, Wisconsin, the Senate seat was won by the Republican,
And there was no change in the House of Representatives. The Republicans still controlled the House. And that was a state that Trump lost. And I don't understand that. Pennsylvania, and again, a Republican won the Senate seat. And there was no change in their House either. The Republicans continued to control it. So, you know, if there was this big corruption in the 2020 election, why did the Republicans win, you know, these important positions? So I question that premise. And furthermore, for those people who believe that, the elections don't matter, just stay home. Just don't go bother and vote.
Well, one interesting statistic here, let's see, Biden got more than 81 million votes in that election, the most votes ever cast for a presidential candidate in U.S. history. So that's quite the accomplishment for Mr. Biden.
Right. I mean, it was a bad year for Trump. I mean, it sure didn't hurt. It didn't hurt the Republicans in the House of Representatives. I mean, in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, where Trump had to win those states. So, I mean, I question the premise of these people who say it was all fake. You know, it just was a bad year for Trump, and he lost legally and fairly.
Right, and then he came back and won again.
Right. Biden messed up. There's no doubt about it. But to blame, the election process is false. The evidence isn't there. The five states I've looked at, there were no surprises, no sudden victories by Democrats over Republicans that wasn't expected. I mean, it was just a bad year for Trump.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate it, Dave. And Doug is standing by. Doug, good morning. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead. It's open phones.
Yes. I was just going to point out with the fires and the lack of having people in the forest harvesting the trees, is that it also hurt the recycling industry. A lot of the paper mills and things that were out there were the ones that we had visited with Montana Recycling into becoming markets. And within 2 or 3 years after we started in business, we started to get the calls. Mm. And the Frenchtown mill became a market for corrugated. None of your grocery stores, they had incinerators. We ended up putting balers in. And all of that is sitting in those facilities now. Not being used. I just wanted to point that out.
Well, thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate it. And all right, to give us a call. It's open phones for another 11 minutes or so. We'd love to hear from you at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Go ahead, Nick, please.
Yeah, I have some fire updates since we don't have time for the next call.
Right.
There was more fire weather over the weekend that led to some new fires across the state, but the biggest impact was the growth that the high winds, low humidity, and hot temps had on major fires, especially in the western part of the state. The Sand Creek fire burning in the western Pioneers east of the Big Hole exploded to more than 11,600 acres.
Wow.
And the adjacent Bobcat Lake fire to the north grew past 7,000 acres. The Beaverhead County Sheriff's Office expanded evacuation orders to go status for Elkhorn Hot Springs and Maverick Mountain, including all communities extending south to Shallow Creek and Clark Creek on the north end of Grasshopper Valley. Firefighters have been using the Pioneer Scenic Byway as a fire break and had to stop 15 spot fires as the fires continue to try and spread to the south and east. And critical fire weather continued through yesterday, and the forest is much the same today and tomorrow. So, or the forecast.
Yeah, thanks for that, Nick. That's very important information. And it is so desperately dry out there. We just plead with anyone who's going to be outdoors, especially in areas where it's fire prone, please be careful with fire. We're going to come right back after this timeout.
Wounded Warrior Project helps post-9/11 veterans and their families realize what's possible. With support and resources that bring warriors together and empower them to become stronger, both inside and out.
it's possible to begin healing,
to get the help you need,
to find peace.
And as each warrior's needs evolve, so do we. Because these last 20 years are just the beginning. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
It's the Monday edition of Talk Back, and we are rolling right along on open phones, and Harry is waiting. Harry, good morning, sir. You are on Talk Back. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, good morning, Peter. Yeah, I just got to chime in on the fire thing. I mean, blaming the environmentalists, the Endangered Species Act. I mean, what a bunch of crap. I'm sorry. But anybody who's been here for any amount of time, all these old people calling in, should remember, back in the 70s, we used to have 3 feet of snow, just base, every year it was 3 feet of snow, and then you had on top of that.
Right.
I mean, so...
I said right, you're exactly right.
Yeah, and it rained. I mean, we'd have, our summers were a lot shorter. I remember in September, it was, summer was over. I mean, you get there first, we go down the creek every day during the summer, but you hit around September, it rained, and it was just too darn cold then, and... So, I mean, it's just the weather's changed. It's dry. Like you keep saying, it's drought. It's dry. Lake Mead is at the lowest level it's ever been, I mean, since they started it. So, I mean, this idea that, well, if we just log more, I mean, that the Spokane Forest, I mean, around that city is so treed in that they just burned down the house. You know, that's ridiculous. There's no hardly any trees there at all. They just burned down the houses. Down in L.A., there was that big fire that wiped out half of the, all that thing. There was no forest. It was all, you get some wind. And hot and dry weather, you can't stop it. It's a blowtorch. It just, rips through everything. So, I mean, this, just look out the side. It's dry. We haven't had, it's been 90 degrees pretty much the whole month of July, and it's dry and hot and just a little spark, and boom, it goes. So, blame everybody else. Blame, Bernie Sanders. Blame Biden, who are Democrats, whatever. But it's. Just, get a grip. I mean, it's reality is it's just dry and hot.
You got it, man. Thank you for the call. Yeah. Appreciate it. Nancy is standing by. Nancy, good to go ahead. What's on your mind, ma'am?
Hey, morning, Glory. I just want to say that 2020 election, we just heard a couple of weeks ago that there's been evidence turned up that 220 million Republican votes were compromised by the Chinese. There is an intense investigation into this. And I just want to say that there is a new book out about President Nixon and his downfall. And there's also evidence, great evidence, turning up regarding the deep state that took him down. It's the same deep state that is working, that worked to take President Trump down as well. So there's a lot of things being investigated out there. I wouldn't say that it wasn't stolen because I do believe that it was. The deep state are evil people. And there's more to come.
Thank you for the call. We've got time for one more call. I think this is Rick. Rick, good morning. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
Hey, thank you. I've got kind of a question for Nick and Ace, if Ace is in the studio. I just read that the WNBA, one of the coaches, I think in New York, held back some of her players because in protest, she kept them on the bench for the back-to-back games that they had. And... I've been enjoying watching the NBA. I'm not a basketball fan, but I've been enjoying it. But now the drama's just getting too deep, and they've lost me as a fan. So, Nick, I was wondering what's your take on holding players back in protest to what regular NBA players see all the time. I was wondering what your take on it was.
Honestly, I didn't hear that, so I'd have to do a little bit of research. But just generally speaking, like, that's obviously concerning because that's I think a coach probably using too much of their power right there, but I don't know.
I'm just wondering it's underwritten by the NBA. I was wondering when Adam Silver was going to take the reins and kind of like right the ship on this this WNBA fiasco that's going on.
They need a new commissioner bad. I mean, yeah, it's gotten
commissioner really
out of
bad.
Control. Yeah.
And it kind of shows the differences between men and women. I don't want to sound like I'm being anti-women. I'm not. I really enjoyed watching the games. But the drama that goes along with it, I know there's drama in the NBA. I don't watch it all that much, but I know there's drama. But this is getting to be ridiculous. I mean, if I want to go watch a cultural basketball league and the change of how women are being treated by the league and by the referees and so on and so forth, I actually feel sorry for the players, although a lot of it's brought on by their own behavior. But look that up. It was on a news feed this morning that she had held back players sort of in a protest to a back-to-back scheduling. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. We are exactly a minute away from being done with open phones, and we appreciate every single one of you that's called today. We certainly do. But we are anticipating a great hour to come. And that, of course, Rob Nadelson with the Mountain States Policy Center and the Independence Institute. Rob is going to be with us on the phone taking your phone calls. And, of course, he's a prolific author and just a very, very interesting guy to visit with, and we love having Rob on the show as often as he can be here. So we're looking forward to that in the next hour. The phone number is 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. On this another smoky Monday morning in western Montana, who knows how long it's going to last. So we're going to come right back after the top of the hour break, and we will be talking again with Rob Nadelson, and hopefully you as well. So we'll be right back after this timeout on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Good morning once again, everyone. It's hour number two for this Monday edition of Talk Back for August 10th, 2026. Again, I'm Peter Christian, Mr. Nick Christensen over there taking your phone calls and producing Talk Back. And we are always privileged to have with us, ladies and gentlemen, whenever Rob Nadelson is on the phone with us. We know it's going to be a great hour. Rob Nadelson, prolific author and up on the Mountain States Policy Center, is joining us on the phone, and it happens to be in Billings today. So, Rob, good morning and welcome back to Talk Back, sir.
Good morning. It's always a privilege for me to speak to you.
All right. So the floor is yours.
A little bit of news for you. As you know, I'm a senior fellow in constitutional jurisprudence at the Independence Institute, where I work on national constitutional issues and also write the occasional article pertaining to Colorado. Have the same title at the Mountain States Policy Center, where I work explicitly on Montana legal issues. And as of August 1, I have the same title, Senior Fellow in Constitutional Jurisprudence, at the Centennial Institute.
Wow.
That is a think tank affiliated with Colorado Christian University. I'll be working on some social issues of the kind that I can't really do for the other two. So it's being stretched in three different directions, but I find that tolerable and indeed pleasant.
So tell us a little bit about your research, the things that you're working on at this time.
These articles were published in different places, but they're all collected on my own website, which is nadelsonrob.com. One is called Why Conservative Candidates Should Not Agree to Debates with Liberal Moderators, Even If They Think they've Got the Format Under Control. And it's basically a series of stories, most of which arose in Montana, about how the sponsor of a debate can skew the debate. The Mountain States Policy Center published an article of mine on three of the Supreme Court cases just decided this past term that all have a positive impact on free enterprise. Now, of course, their impact on free enterprise is not why the Supreme Court decided them the way they did. It's based on an interpretation of the Constitution. but they all happen to have had beneficial effects on free enterprise. And so that article discusses those three cases. An article that my co-author, Liam McCullum, and I have done on the federal misuse of National Guards is a very lengthy, scholarly article that has just been finished. And then still another one discusses the unfortunate tendency of the left liberal progressives who run Colorado to run afoul of the First Amendment. The Supreme Court has struck them down now three times now in recent years, and now there's yet another case going up to the Supreme Court in which they have tried to limit religious freedom or First Amendment rights generally. And then finally, I republished an article that I first wrote for the Epoch Times back in 2021 called Abolish the CDC and the National Institutes for Health, Center for Disease Control of the National Institutes for Health. I republished the article because it was so applicable given the recent revelations regarding Anthony Fauci. So those are some of the things that I've been working on.
Fantastic. And that's your timing is exquisite because we're coming up against our first break and folks are already lined up to visit with you. Our guest on the phone is Rob Nadelson, the Mountain States Policy Center, and he's talking to us from Billings today. And we always have a great time when Rob is on the line with us. And he's a great interview. And of course, we're going to be coming back with questions from Skip and Nancy, and hopefully you as well, when we come back right after this on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
Dennis Bragg with your Town Square weather. Areas of smoke continue this week with haze-filtered sunshine and a little cooler than over the weekend with highs in the upper 80s. Overnight lows will continue on the cool side around 50 degrees, although it will be cool in many locations with lows about 10 degrees colder than that. Air quality alerts continue with conditions ranging from moderate to unhealthy, so be aware of your specific location. We are tracking a possible change this week with a cool down and even a slight chance of showers or thunderstorms by Thursday.
All right, welcome back to Talk Back. Good to have you along this morning on this special hour with Rob Nadelson from the Mountain States Policy Center. He's joining us from Billings right now. And we've got folks lined up to talk with you, starting with Skip. Skip, good morning. You're on with Rob. Go ahead.
Good morning, Skip.
Well, thank you. Good morning, Rob. And I think it's amazing. Now you're the senior fellow of three different institutes, and I know that that will at least help keep you out of trouble. And so I wanted to ask you a general question, especially about Mountain States Policy Center. Here we are coming up to and going to be here before we know it is a new legislative session in Montana. And there's all kinds of things that are going to be so important to take care of, certainly the budget, but then also things like a big deal here in Montana right now is exempt wells, and then possibly a lot of floor time taken up about things like a flat tax. But, you know, the Policy Center, over the years, I followed it. I couldn't afford to contribute to it except to try and get the word out. And so would you please tell us two or three things, I'll give you an example, that are they the most important things for us to be thinking about in the future? A possible Montana State Constitutional Convention. How do we? And then secondly, how do we learn about and do a better job to make sure we get the right people in our Supreme Court, such as Dan Wilson, who's running right now? In addition, what are we going to do about, what's the tools we have to fix the problem with redistricting? Anything you can touch on so we as citizens know how to do a better job and tell our elected officials that are going to Helena how we feel about it. I'll leave it at that, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Skip.
Well, Skip never just asked one question.
Correct.
How about you, where to begin with this? I think that the redistricting would have to be changed by a constitutional amendment, and I don't think that's likely to happen. The key, though, to working within the current system is to have a different Supreme Court, because what happens is the Republicans appoint two Republicans and the Democrats appoint two Democrats, and then they generally can't decide who the fifth person is among themselves, and so the Supreme Court appoints the fifth, and the Supreme Court inevitably appoints someone far left of center. So changing the Supreme Court is also one of the keys to changing the redistricting problem. One of the keys to changing the Supreme Court is to go to a system whereby judicial candidates are permitted to declare a political party. I mean, everybody knows that 9 out of 10, maybe 99 out of 100 judicial candidates favor one party or another, but they're not permitted to put their party preference on the ballot. So that's one thing the legislature has thought about doing. They need to pass legislation doing that. Unfortunately, people on the left now have a very well-funded initiative called CI-132, which would freeze Montana into this failed nonpartisan system forever. And so that initiative obviously needs to be defeated. So allowing candidates to identify with a party, which is done in many other states, with good results, would, I think, go a long way toward improving the quality of the information that voters have about the Supreme Court. They could elect a better and more responsive Supreme Court, and that better and more responsive Supreme Court is a key to fixing the reapportionment problem. Skip also mentioned the idea of a new state constitutional convention. Montanans will be voting on this in the year 2030, and I personally think that Montanans should vote to have a new constitutional convention. Not that the entire current constitution needs to be scrapped, but it certainly needs to be brought up to date. It needs to be conformed with current knowledge. A lot of the language needs to be tightened up so that the people and their elected representatives are running the state, not the courts. So that's certainly an important issue to looking ahead. For the immediate session, I think one of the most important issues is that of the flat income tax. Montana has long labored under the bad consequences of having income tax, which is punitive with respect to income. It's one of the reasons that for a very long time, Montana underperformed other states, is beginning to correct that now. But you've got a moving target here, because many other states are moving toward lower income taxes or no income taxes or flat taxes. So I think the governor's proposal for a flat income tax needs to be pretty high on the agenda, and I hope it's passed.
All right, let's try to get one more call in before we take a break. Nancy, you're on with Rob. Go ahead.
Good morning. Rob, welcome back to Billings, Montana. I have two questions regarding the 74-year-old 1952 law, McCarran and Walters Act. This has to do with these Islamic members of the Muslim Brotherhood running for elections. And I think, it forbids anybody entering our country illegally who has intentions of just taking down, overthrowing our government. And it also pinpoints Islam and the Sharia law. And I can't believe that somebody like Abdul El Said, who was given birthright citizenship and who has been radicalized in Turkey and now is back, is running for U.S. Senate in the state of Michigan. I don't know how he can accomplish this or get away with this. I'm guessing because birthright citizenship and our Supreme Court allowed this, and also we have a Congress, legislative branch of government, that I don't think is doing its job. They're weak and ineffective, and they're not using their powers to enforce our laws. Help me out here. I'm really getting frustrated and anxious over the idea that we have Islamists running for very important positions of power who want to shred our Constitution and take down the U.S.
the United States. So thank you, Rob.
Nancy, we're coming up against a break, and I know Rob will need more than 30 seconds to answer those questions. So when we come back from the break, Rob will address what Nancy has talked about. And, of course, we have other folks, Harry and Catherine, are both waiting, and other phone lines that are open. If you have a question or a comment for Rob Nadelson, just give us a call, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Rob, of course, affiliated with the Mountain States Policy Center, and we are looking forward to the rest of the hour with Rob when we come back after this quick timeout here on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg. More explosive fire weather over the weekend led to some new fire starts. The Sand Creek fire burning in the western Pioneers east of Big Hole exploded to more than 11,600 acres. That's the biggest fire in the state this year. And the adjacent Bobcat Lake fire to the north grew past 7,000 acres. The Beaverhead County Sheriff's Office expanded evacuation orders to go status for Elkhorn Hot Springs and Maverick Mountain, including all the communities extending south into the north end of the Grasshopper Valley. Firefighters have been using the Pioneer Scenic Byway as a fire break there. They had to stop 15 spot fires over the weekend. Fire crews in the Bitterroot National Forest have their hands full with the Black Bear Fire. It's now 1,500 acres burning southeast of Hamilton in the Scalcahoe Country. Steep terrain and heavy dead timber creating extreme conditions there. Firefighters are using some strategic burning operations to guide the flames towards some of the older burn scars. There have been a lot of fires in that area in recent years. We expect to find out today whether U.S. Senate Democratic hopeful Alani Bankhead will drop out of the contest or stick with her conviction or run through the fall. She's been facing some headwinds in recent weeks. Friday, 22 Democrats in the legislature urged her to drop out. They called for uniting behind independent Seth Bodner instead, saying he has the best chance of winning against Republican Kurt Almy. The move came after Bodner held a press conference in Billings, continuing his call for a coalition approach to representing Montana.
I believe that Montana should have a voice in Washington that can't be bullied by national party leaders or told how to vote. So let me be very clear. I am in this race until the very end. I am committed to building a campaign that my candidate deserves. Because we have serious challenges in this country today. And we need to work together if we're going to find solutions. And we need to be open to the best ideas wherever they come from.
Bodner said he'd never ask Bankhead to drop out. This is the Montana State News Network.
Hi, I'm Montana Highway Patrol Colonel Kurt Seger, encouraging you to stay safe on the road this summer. More fatalities occur on the road from Memorial Day to Labor Day. To ensure Montanans and our visitors get to and from their destination safely this summer, Montana Highway Patrol troopers will be increasing patrols. You can help. Never get behind the wheel intoxicated, follow the speed limit, and always buckle up. Together we can save lives. Sponsored by the Montana Department of Justice.
Montana's future is on the line. Will you stand up and fight? Montana was built on hard work, strong families, and economic freedom. Americans for Prosperity is building a grassroots movement, and we need you to help lead the charge. Our wages are among the lowest in the nation. Our children rank near the bottom in math and reading. Home ownership is becoming an out-of-reach dream for many, while government interference and radical regulations strangle our industries. Join us today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. Paid for by Americans for Prosperity.
Hey, we are back on Talk Back for this Monday, August the 10th. I'm Peter Christian. Nick Christensen taking your phone calls this morning. We're privileged to have with us Rob Nadelson, the Mountain States Policy Center, joining us on the phone. And folks have been waiting to talk with you.
We had Nancy's question.
Oh, yeah, Nancy's questions. Yeah, please go ahead. I had that written down. Go ahead. Rob, go ahead, please.
Yeah, there were, I think, three separate strands in Nancy's questions. One related to why someone like Abdul El-Sayed is running for U.S. Senate, or why he would be permitted to run for U.S. Senate. Another one was a policy of admitting people to come into this country from certain other countries, and then the issue of birthright citizenship. Let's start with El-Sayed. Obviously, I disagree with his political views and his religious views, But he was born in this country. I believe his parents were here legally. He's a citizen by any measure, birthright citizen, it seems, by any measure. He's got the same right anybody else has to run for political office. I don't think that is subject to question. We have freedom of religion in this country. Someone is free who is Muslim or Jewish or Christian or anything else to run for a political office. So I think that his candidacy needs to be approached on the issue basis. That is, that his ideas are terrible and would help set the country back, not on his national origin or his religion. Secondly, I believe we do have a problem with some of the people we're admitting to the country, as is illustrated by recent scandals involving Somali immigrants. We have a program called the Diversity Visa Program, which permits people to come into this country from countries simply based on the fact that we haven't gotten many immigrants from the country they represent. Well, the result is you're importing a lot of third world folks. And when you import third world folks, unfortunately, you often import the third world. And so I think we have to be more careful and rewrite our immigration policies to emphasize people who at least approximately share the same cultural values that are necessary to make our political and social system work. The third area is the area of birthright citizenship and the muck-up by the Supreme Court in misinterpreting the 14th Amendment, which was, as I wrote earlier and mentioned last month, was assisted by the fact that the Trump administration also made mistakes in its argumentation. And we discussed how that can be fixed at some length last time. I won't repeat all of that. But I think Congress should at least try to pass legislation narrowing somewhat the definition of birthright citizenship that the Supreme Court arrived at following the invitation of Justice Kavanaugh that they do that. Whether the legislation would in turn survive Supreme Court review, I don't know, but I think that's the place to start.
All right, let's get back to the phone. Say good morning to Harry. Thanks for holding, sir. You're on with Rob Nadelson. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Rob. Yeah, just a couple comments and then a question. Comments on, you know, how we fix redistricting problems? Get rid of the parties, period. No more parties, no more problems with redistricting. Everybody runs on what they believe and their things, and that's it. And as for this Montana Supreme Court, you already said that 9 out of 10 people know where stand. I think that other 1% don't really care. So, I mean, the idea that you letting them do the party really doesn't matter. But my question...
Actually, Harry, you misunderstood what I said. What I said was that 9 out of 10 people running for judges have particular party preferences.
Oh, I think that people knew it.
The average person doesn't know that. They don't know that under the current system.
Well, they can look on the internet and find out. But anyway, my question is, this administration is buying interest in a lot of companies. I think there's a chip company that can. They can sell to China as long as they get United States gets a cut of it. Is that constitutional? And do you think that's the proper thing for the government to do? I know other presidents have done it, but they've only done it for a short time. GM, whatever they had for a short time, but then they sold it off. But this seems like it's going to be we own part of the company.
No, I don't think it's a proper thing for the government to be doing.
Thanks, Harry.
And it's one of the quarrels I have with the Trump administration. I think it's highly inappropriate. It's old-style Swedish socialism. It's been discredited. It puts the taxpayers on the hook if something goes wrong. If it injects politicians into business decisions, it's a very, very bad move. Whether it's constitutional or not, Harry, is going to depend somewhat on the specific purpose for which the company is being acquired. If, for example, the government can argue that the acquisition is necessary and proper for the regulation of commerce because the company is involved in certain commercial activities, then that's a better situation constitutionally than if the government is, say, investing in a healthcare company. But no, I don't think it's appropriate.
Okay, we are coming up against a break, and when we come back, we have Catherine and Rick both waiting to visit with Rob Nadelson. And remember, Rob's going to be here till all the way till 10 o'clock. So if you have a question or a comment, maybe he's made a statement that you that sparked a question for you. That's why he's here. He loves to take your calls and answer your questions. So 406-721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. Of course, Rob Nadelson with the Mountain States Policy Center, and his book, The Original Constitution, What It Actually Said and Meant. I'm not sure how many editions have been published so far, but he'll fill us in on that when we come back from the break. But we'd love to hear from you at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And so we'll be coming right back after this quick timeout. So stay with us on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
Here's a question.
Smiles are powerful. A simple smile can light up a whole room. And for 25 years, Smile Train has been lighting up the world with smiles. And each smile marks a step towards a brighter future. As the world's largest cleft lip and palate charity, Smile Train has supported more than 2 million life-changing cleft surgeries in over 90 countries, leaving a legacy of resilience, joy, and beaming smiles for generations of children. To learn more about cleft lips and palates and how Smile Train is supporting the cleft community all over the world, please visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, lighting up the world with smiles for 25 years.
They are our cuddlers and co-workers, purr machines and love bugs, and constant companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life so much better. When we face unexpected challenges in life, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people who love their pets and the pets who love their people, ensuring these families stay exactly where they belong, together. And you have something to offer. With an open heart and mind, there is nothing you can't do. There's no gesture too small or too big when it comes to helping. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. You can help keep pets and people together. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything. Helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours, at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people. A neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
In the U.S., a vehicle is stolen every 31 seconds. Protect your car. Remove valuables. Roll up your windows. Lock your doors and take your keys. Report crime to the police. And if it's insurance fraud, contact NICB at reportinsurancefraud.org. A public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Talk Back, rolling right along on this Monday, August 10th. Peter Christian here, Nick Christensen taking your phone calls, producing Talk Back. Our special guest on the phone, Rob Nadelson from the Mountain States Policy Center. And let's get right back to the phones.
Well, we had Harry's question.
Yeah, Harry has a question before we took the break. So go ahead, please, Rob.
Yeah, by the way, if I sound a little different, we're having some interesting technical issues this morning. Harry raised the question of, well, why not just abolish parties as far as elections are concerned? And there are a number of answers to that. Parties are what sociologists call mediating institutions. That is, they're voluntary associations that tend to protect individuals from government and enable people to participate in civic life. People love to hate parties, and they love to claim that they're nonpartisan, or they don't like the idea of partisanship. But the fact is that parties serve very important functions. For one thing, a party is a way in which an average American can participate in government. Parties give people of very modest means the option of participating in a really meaningful way. When you don't have parties, or when you weaken parties, what you do is you open the way for dark money to control things. People are always complaining about dark money. They're complaining about billionaires participating in politics. This phenomenon arose largely because the government started restraining the extent to which parties could participate. So limits of various kinds were put on parties. Parties were not permitted to coordinate with candidates under some circumstances. And because the parties were weakened, this opened a power vacuum and allowed billionaires and others to start pouring money into campaigns themselves. So I'm hoping that the recent Supreme Court decision, which held that it violates the U.S. Constitution for the federal government to interfere with the coordination between a candidate and his party, I'm hoping that will strengthen the parties more and enable ordinary people to have more say in the process than simply billionaires and dark money. Again, as I said, people love to hate parties, but they really do serve a critical role in the process. One more point, and this goes to the issue of allowing judicial candidates to declare a party designation. A party is a quick way, generally, of understanding what direction that candidate's coming from. Candidate's a Democrat, for example, or a Libertarian, or a Republican. That gives you a clue as to the candidate's general philosophy, that which you otherwise wouldn't have. So it's a benefit to the voters as well.
Okay, let's get Catherine on the line. Catherine, good morning. You're on with Rob. Go ahead.
Hi, Catherine.
Good morning. Hi. What is your opinion of the rise of the DSA and its infiltration into the Democratic Party and the resulting transformation or continuing transformation of the Democratic Party? Its policies are basically the Communist Manifesto if you read their just-released policy statements. How do you think the DSA should be counteracted, and do you think their policies will resonate with younger voters? I don't think people in this country realize just how dangerous they are, especially because the DSA is allied with Islamic fundamentalists.
Yeah, well, the DSA, I think, is largely a function of universities, largely a product of the universities. I've seen polling data which indicates that young people with recent university educations, especially from prestige universities, hold political opinions that are radically different from those that most Americans hold. They fundamentally challenge basic premises of American government. They reject them. They reject capitalism. They really reject democracy, although they talk in terms of democracy. As we've seen, and I alluded to this earlier, when they take over a state, as they've taken over Colorado, they're also hostile to basic constitutional values like free speech, the right to keep and bear arms, and so forth. So I think a lot of this is being fed by the misinformation that's coming from the universities. Some of it, frankly, though, is a logical extension of what the Democratic Party has been doing for years. I mean, the Democratic Party has began a process basically back in the 1960s of trying to have the federal government take over the entire healthcare system. And they they adopted Medicare, Medicaid, Obamacare, and so forth, all with the ultimate goal of having the federal government run all of our health care. And so it's only one step beyond that to go to so-called Medicare for All, which basically means a single-payer system like Canada has, which would mean would have been bad news for Canadians because they come to our country to flee their single-payer system.
Rob, yeah. we are up against a hard break, and we appreciate Catherine's call. We're going to come right back after this quick timeout, and more with Rob coming up in just a moment.
Your business.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Hey, we're back on Talk Back, and always a privilege to have Rob Nadelson joining us on the phone this morning. And Rob, I know that we didn't have the opportunity for you to finish your answer for Catherine, please.
Yeah, there were two more aspects in which she asked about democratic socialism and what I thought of it. There are two more aspects in which it's a product of the university system, or at least of the educational system. One is, it is absolutely horrifying that these young people should have gone through high school, college, and in some case, postgraduate training, and not learned about the historical failures of socialism. Not just the failures, but the brutality of socialism, the number of human deaths that have resulted from it. That's one point. Another point is that, again, polling has shown to a disproportionate extent, many of the supporters are people who went through the whole university system, majored in some politically correct subject, or perhaps a subject not very useful in their career, and now they've discovered that while they're overeducated, they're underpaid, and they're angry about it. And so I think that the federal loan program, student loan program, and the university system, and to a lesser extent the K-12 system, has a lot to answer for in this growth of socialism that we're seeing.
All right, let's get Rick on the line. He's been waiting the longest. Rick, go ahead. You're on with Rob.
Yeah, Rob, I'd like to know constitutionally, right now we, in the state of Montana, we have two candidates, Seth Bogner and Elena Bankhead, and like the Democrats do, there's 22 Democrats come out and want her to drop out of the race for independent Democrat Seth Bogner. They think he has a better chance of winning. We have the history with Bernie Sanders. We have the history in Maine, and there's been several others where the heads of the Democratic Party want people to step aside because they're having buyer remorse after they went through the primary process. And the Democrats always talk about the Republicans disenfranchising voters. Well, I would say that if you're in the primary process, if you're voted in to be a candidate, and then you're asked to step down, you've disenfranchised all of your Democratic voters. And I was wondering if there's anything in the Constitution that would disallow the Democratic heads to stop continually asking their candidates to step aside when they find out that maybe they weren't the best people to back within the party. And I was just wondering if you have any ideas if they're constitutionally about disenfranchising their voters.
Thanks for the call, sir.
It is extraordinary, isn't it? I mean, the name of the party is the Democratic Party, and they're always talking about their commitment to democracy. But we saw this with Joe Biden. Joe Biden was forced to step aside in favor of somebody who had won no primaries at all. We've seen this in the case of Graham Plattner, why Democratic voters would have nominated this guy, I cannot imagine, but they did, and yet they forced him to step aside, and now you see the same thing happening in Montana. I'm not sure there's a constitutional solution to this. I mean, parties are generally free to run matters the way they wish. There is some law, but if they're complying with the law, if, for example, they force or induce somebody to drop out, and then they go ahead and fill the vacancy in a way that's authorized by law, I don't think there's a constitutional issue, but I think the voters need to remember it.
All right, let's get another call in before we take our break. Emmett, go ahead. You're on with Rob.
Thanks for taking my call. Well, I was talking on open phones about flock cameras and how I believe it's Big Brother government. It's pretty frightening. I even mentioned Big Ben Franklin's quote about freedom and security. At first, I couldn't remember it was Ben Franklin who made the quote. But my question for you is, are flock cameras that monitor, you know, the passing cars and the license plates and people going passing to and from the streets wherever they go, is it even constitutional? Because wouldn't it violate the Fourth Amendment rights for protection against unreasonable searches and seizures? Because you're being monitored, whether you walk down the sidewalk to go to the grocery store or you drive to work, you're being monitored by Big Brother. This isn't what our founding fathers envisioned at all, I don't think. Of course, one of the other amendments, of course, you know, those rights that are not enumerated by the Constitution are given by to the government or to the people respectively. So a lot of other rights have been included that weren't in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. But basically the framework is, I just don't think it's constitutional. So if you could answer that question about these flock cameras and surveillance cameras.
Thank you, Emmett.
Yeah, I cannot answer that question. I will tell you why. There's several reasons. Number one, I'm not a Fourth Amendment expert. And why that's the case, I'll explain in a second. Number two, the Ninth Amendment actually doesn't say what a modern reader would think it says. What the Ninth Amendment really does is it says that, look, simply because we have a Bill of Rights doesn't mean that government is empowered to do everything else. It's what we call a rule of construction in law. This is all explained in my book, The Original Constitution. But it's not like there's some, you know, reserved rights of privacy or whatever that that are protected by the U.S. Constitution because of the Ninth Amendment. Now, people ask me whether we have a living constitution or not. And I answer that by saying, what clause are you talking about? Because some parts of the Constitution were written to be rigid. Some clauses of the Constitution were meant to be somewhere in between, and some were meant to be very flexible. And the 14th Amendment, which talks in terms of unreasonable search, Fourth Amendment, excuse me, which talks in terms of unreasonable searches and seizures, is one of these very flexible provisions. The founders expected the courts to work it out in kind of an evolving process. What the courts generally say is that you're protected by the Fourth Amendment in areas where you have a reasonable expectation of privacy. And I don't know if it's ever been adjudicated whether flock cameras are interfering with your reasonable expectation of privacy.
And with that, we're seconds away from a break. We can continue that when we come back.
Sure.
We'll be right back with more with Rob Nadelson right after this quick timeout here on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
Thanks to generous community support, Wounded Warrior Project has helped post 9/11 veterans and their families since 2003. Through no-cost physical and mental health services, legislative advocacy, career assistance, and life skill training, we're there every step of the journey.
It's possible to feel understood,
to get support when it's needed most.
And now I know anything is possible.
And we're just getting started. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Parents have a lot to get done in a day.
Sit tight, hon. I'll be right back.
But even when we're rushed, always remember,
temperatures as low as 60 degrees can be deadly for children left in the car. Every time you park the car, stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
All right, into our final segment now with Rob Nadelson joining us on the phone from the Mountain States Policy Center, and let's get right back to it. And I believe Steve is waiting on the line. Steve, go ahead, please.
Hello.
Hello, Steve. You're on with Rob Nadelson. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Rob. Hey, two things real quick. Regarding the rise of the DSA, having engaged with them locally a little bit, I can see a lot of attraction for young people, especially when you see, you know, our president who promised no new wars involve himself in what will be the demise of his presidency and another war that we have to crawl out with our tail between our legs because of. And it's just a real shame. So I think there's a lot of youth who are seeing this kind of stuff and easily fall prey to the kind of propaganda that the DSA and the Democrats and the Republicans espouse to, unfortunately. There's a lot of people like myself or adults who are just disassociating with politics in general at the national and international level because we just feel like fools, honestly, for believing these people, these old people that have no business in the positions that they're in. Nonetheless, sir, I just had a question for you. You're an attorney, correct?
Yes, among other things.
And so my question is over the weekend there was a homeless encampment in the state of Montana based on the Montana state constitution for, its promises of a clean, safe environment, that kind of thing. I'm really interested in funding a lawsuit against the city. It doesn't seem like anyone's doing anything about it. And I don't want to see what happened in Spokane happen in Missoula. No one cares to talk about it. There's no media on it. And people are all of a sudden going to realize that these parasites in our society who are just more interested in doing drugs and lighting fires and all the enablement we've done are going to destroy us. And I'm just curious, is there anything from a legal perspective one could do to fund a lawsuit against the city or county?
And Rob, just so you know, we have about exactly 3 minutes for you to wrap this up. Thank you.
Yeah. There are some circumstances in which, let me back up. Normally, cities and counties have what's called sovereign immunity, which has been qualified in Montana. Sovereign immunity prohibits citizens from collecting from city officials or from cities, but it has been qualified in Montana. I don't recall the exact perimeters of the doctrine, though. One of the fundamental legal problems that have arisen have contributed to the homeless situation is that court decisions that were issued in the 1960s and 1970s by the Supreme Court basically prohibited most kinds of involuntary detention. So before the 60s and 70s, if somebody was wandering around the street, you know, he could be picked up on a vagrancy charge, maybe spend a few days in jail. Some people actually courted those charges because it was warm in the jail and it wasn't warm on the streets. But there were ways in which the police could control the homeless situation that don't exist today because of these court decisions. But I'm not sure that there's much there that the ordinary citizen can do other than to hope that it's some or to encourage local officials to challenge those decisions and maybe get the Supreme Court to reverse them, which it might very well do. By the way, I never got quite a chance to finish the last question before Steve's, which was about surveillance cameras.
Got about a minute and a half.
Driving from Colorado to Montana, the segment of I-25, which is located in Colorado, is one surveillance camera after another. Part of that is the need for checking to make sure that people don't violate the rules of the toll lanes. But still, just the number of cameras, the frequency, the extent to which we are surveilled really does remind me as the caller suggested, of communist China.
Mm. Rob, we have about just a little less than a minute. Any parting thoughts, sir?
Yeah, two things. Number one, if you're interested in buying my book, The Original Constitution, make sure you get the fourth edition. That's the edition that shows on the cover the men at the Constitutional Convention. The subtitle of it is The Historical Meaning of America's Supreme Law.
Got it.
It's no longer, you know, what it actually said in that. It's a historical meaning of America's Supreme Law.
And
so
we,
be sure if you go to Amazon to get it, you get the fourth edition.
Got
if
it.
If you want to see other stuff I've written, go to natelsonrob.com.
Got it.
NATELSONROB, all one word,
all right.
natelsonrob.com.
Rob, thank you. Always a pleasure, sir. Appreciate it. Mr. Nick, what's coming up tomorrow,
we'll
sir?
Get a quick update from Americans for Prosperity and then Brian Massard, and then the rest of the show will be spent with Dr. Patrick Barkey.
All right, lots coming up. And again, thanks to all of you for calling, and thanks to Rob Nadelson for being with us. We appreciate that. Have yourselves a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow morning, bright and early at 8 o'clock for another edition of Talkback. Talk to you then.